The gospel for today presents Jesus as a shepherd. And we often celebrate Jesus as our good shepherd at funerals. And we particularly celebrate him as the good shepherd on two Sundays. The first is the fourth Sunday after Easter, which is called Good Shepherd Sunday. And on this Sunday, we remember how the good shepherd laid down his life for us on the cross. He laid down his life so that we might live forever with God. And the second is this Sunday. This Sunday, where the emphasis is on the good shepherd's care for his sheep. It's on what we call pastoral care. Now, Mark tells us that the disciples have just returned from this mission trip that Jesus has sent them on, and they come back to report to Jesus all that they have done. And here I can't help but think of Tim Bayer, who came here last week to report to us, tell us about his recent internship in Canberra with one of the politicians, and to tell us about his imminent trip to Germany and then for further study in Canada, and to thank us for our prayers for him, for the encouragement and financial support we've given him. Tim's going to be a fine pastor just like his dad. And Jesus, Mark tells us, notices how tired his returning disciples are. And he says to them, come and get some rest. And here we see the pastoral care of Jesus for his disciples. He notices their weariness. He sees their need for rest and quietness. And doesn't this remind you again of Psalm 23? The Lord, the Good Shepherd, makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my weary soul. This is what Jesus does for his disciples. I've been a pastor for almost 55 years now. I've learnt the need for rest the hard way. As a young man, I had lots of energy, and I assumed that I'd always have lots of energy, and I didn't take sufficient rest, so consequently, I became exhausted, and it took some years to recover. And that's not what the Good Shepherd wants pastors to experience. We need to follow Jesus' lead and make sure that our pastor, our pastoral care team, everyone involved in pastoral care gets rest and thanks and prayers and encouragement. Now, when Jesus tells his disciples to come and get some rest, they all climb into a boat and they head off to this quiet spot on the other side of the lake. When they get there, they find it's not a quiet spot at all, because the people have seen where they're going and they've walked around the shore of the lake to the spot where they're heading. And a large crowd is waiting for them. The people are so keen to see Jesus, they've walked there and are waiting. Now, people in high positions often look down upon people in crowds. They refer to them sort of sneeringly as the hoi polloi, or the great unwashed. They regard crowds as collections of stupid, excitable people who can be manipulated, intimidated, and dominated. Jesus doesn't think like this. He sees the crowd through the eyes of a shepherd. They are like sheep without a shepherd, says the gospel. They are vulnerable and unsure. They need direction. They need leadership. They need to be led into the paths of righteousness, as it says again in Psalm 23. So that's what Jesus does. Mark tells us that Jesus teaches them many things, and among the many things that he teaches them would be about God's kingdom and how we as kingdom people need to live under God's guidance. But Jesus' pastoral care is not limited to teaching. Further on in this chapter, and the bit that we didn't get in the gospel, we hear that Jesus feeds the crowd. He feeds 5,000 people. And then, at the end of the chapter, the bit that we did hear, we hear how Jesus heals them. So pastoral care that Jesus gives is complete care. Care for their bodies, care for their spirits, care for their minds. And as I was thinking about the care, the pastoral care that Jesus gave to the crowds, I thought of the women and men who offer pastoral care in the name of Jesus in schools. My daughter was one of those. She was a pastoral carer in a Lutheran school for 10 years. And I naturally thought of two members of the congregation, Vicky, who you've already seen this morning, and Joe Herman. Vicky's the pastoral care worker at Newry High. You may have read about her in the newspaper recently. And Joe's at Lindock Primary and Grenock Primary. Is that right, Joe? Yeah, good. Now, most Christian ministry is fairly specific, but the role of the pastoral carers in schools is a broad one. We heard that Jesus' pastoral care for the people in the crowds involved teaching, feeding, and healing. And I imagine that pastoral carers also do teaching, feeding, and healing for people who are badly damaged through circumstances of life. Now, this morning I'm going to call on Joe to come forward and just to give us a snapshot of what's involved in the pastoral care that she does.
We're on? Yes, we are. Good. Thank you. Firstly, I'd just like to say thank you for letting me speak here this morning about our roles as pastoral care workers in the local schools. So there's actually 8 of us that are local pastoral care workers. We've got every school covered in the valley except Light Pass at the moment. So that is an absolute blessing that we've got Jesus' hands and feet in every school here in the valley. Vicky is one of our team and she is at Newry High, and I can guarantee you she feeds 5,000 people. She's at a school of about 1,600, so she is kept very busy. And with what's going on at Newry High at the moment, her workload has increased immensely with the support for that community, so please continue to uphold Vicky in prayer. She runs breakfast clubs with the team. She sits with kids that are going through tough times. She deals with homelessness, addictions. There's so much, as you can imagine, with a high school, as well as family support as well. So she's a great team member and support for all of us pastoral care workers. So I guess as a pastoral care worker, I like what you said in your message just before, is that we actually meet people where they're at, and we actually see people through Jesus' eyes. So often we are the ones that sit in the yard and talk to the unlovable, or the one that doesn't have a friend, or the one that might look a little bit different or just act a little bit different, or might be having a bad time and behaving badly, or just making the choices that aren't the best. We're the ones that can walk alongside of those kind of kids and families and support them. And I think that's what Jesus would have done too in his time. He would have sat with those kind of people and got in amongst them. Excuse me, I've had a frog in my throat all morning. So I know that God's actually called me to this role. I've been a pastoral care worker now for about 9 years. I started at Lindock Primary, and I got asked to be a pastoral care worker by a teacher at St. Jacoby. She said, "You'd be really good at this, Joe." So I did my studies when the kids were little, and Reese and I actually started our first day on the same day. He went to primary school at St. Jacoby and I went to Lindock Primary, so we were both very nervous walking out the door. And I thought, how hard can this job really be? Pastoral care is so broad. It's welcoming people, it's smiling, it's making tea and coffee, it's having chats, it's playing foursquare, it's just getting out there amongst it, reading readers with kids. Well, my first day was an absolute baptism of fire. I walked in and I looked at my principal and I said, "Hey, I'm here for my first day, what would you like me to do?" And she said, "Well, I'm so glad to see you and that you're here. See that kid over there? He's come from another school. He's actually just trashed that school and he's come here for respite. I want you to sit with him and don't take your eyes off of him all day." And I went, right, this isn't really what I had in mind. What would Jesus really do with this one? And as I sat there with that one, I turned around and we actually had a year two at the time that was a runner. And he actually took off out of the school and headed off down the main street of Lindock and got actually over the bridge by the institute before the principal and another staff member caught him with her car to bring him back to the school. And I just sat there and went, what have I done, God? What have you led me to be here? But over the time, it's evolved and it's getting to know the people where they're at and not judging and thinking, oh, man, why did you do that? It's actually finding out the story behind why they're like they're at. And it's an absolute honour to be able to walk with people in that way and share those highs and lows. So I am also at Greenock Primary, so I started there in 2022. So God planted me in that school as well, and I totally know that. I went in there to offer grief support after Jeanette Micken died. I don't know if you remember Jeanette. She was a very prominent figure at Kapunda, and she'd been at that school for about 9 years as well. And when she died, she was at school the one day. The next day, she was actually in heaven. She got taken so quickly, and the whole school was just grief-stricken. So I got tapped on the shoulder and said, "Joe, you need to go over there and offer grief support to that community." And I went, "God, what are you doing now? I don't want another school. I don't want to go over there. I don't want to minister to these people I've never met before and deal with grief of people I don't know." But he put me there and he empowered me and gave me what I needed to do that in that role for that time. So I spent 3 weeks there, and then that was the end of term three. By term four, I said to the principal, "I think you need somebody here because the kids are getting ready for high school. There was grief still around the place. Staff needed support. And there was other things going on, as you can imagine." And I said, "Work out what you want to do with the role with my manager." And by the middle of term four, I'd been approached and told that they'd like me at that school. Please come and work with us. So God put me there and he picked out the right pastoral care worker for that particular school. And I know I'm there for a reason with what we've journeyed through over the last couple of years. So in the last year, I've actually supported families who have been sick. We've had a parent who suicided. And there's been some really tough stuff within that school in the last couple of years. And I know with my life experience, God wanted me there to help those people. So it's been an absolute honour to be his hands and feet there as well. So I guess some of the other things that we do as pastoral care workers is, as you've heard, we feed people. So often there's the needs of food and clothing, the basic physical needs we help with. We help with mental health needs, so their spiritual needs. We refer them on to the counsellors that they need or the different networks that they need to help. And we just walk alongside of people and just help them. So for kids, it's really just sharing that time with them. In our busy worlds, kids don't get one-on-one very often and they need that, they yearn that. So to be able to sit down and play with them and just share that love and give them the time of day to make them feel special. And I'm really blessed because I'm in little schools, so I actually know when the wobbly tooth is about to fall out and you can keep track of it. I've actually been known to help pull teeth out, but that's... that's what you do. It's all part of being that support and that friend. And I know sometimes you're probably listening to me going, "That's so overwhelming, that's so challenging. How do you do that on a daily basis?" But we walk into those schools knowing that God's got our back. He's right alongside of us. He's leading us to the people that he wants us to talk to at that time. And we all feel that, and we can all pray about our families and lift them up to him. And we can push all this tough stuff off to him and support one another. And God's got the whole lot. Yeah. Is that about...
Thank you. Thank you. Look, Joe, before you go, let us pray for you. And we'll include Vicky. Do you want to just come up here, Vicky? We are proud that you are members of our congregation. We're proud of what you do. Yes.
I know you've got Vicky and Joe here, but in Southern Barossa Lutheran Church, there's actually four of us. So we've got Jolie Zaddo and Kylie Heinrich, who are pastoral care workers. So there's actually four of us in the team here.
And Judith, you used to be...
Judith used to
do it too, didn't you? Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for these special servants of yours. We thank you for the love that you've put in them, for kids who are just hard to deal with sometimes, families that are going through tough times. So we pray that you would fill them with your special grace so that they can pour your love into the difficult situations, into the lives of these people who are struggling. Bless them and bless the families through them. Give them all the gifts that they need, all the strength that they need, all the love that they need to do a great job for you and for the kingdom. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Just to wind up, just let me say that all of us who trust in Jesus are special, people in his care, precious in his sight. And he calls us to follow him and at the same time to learn from him, the good shepherd, to become shepherds of others. Now, a few of us become pastors, like me, which simply means shepherds. And some, like Vicky and Joe and the others that were mentioned, become pastoral care workers or persons who are involved in shepherding others. But all of us are called to do pastoral care to one another, when we can and as we're able. It may involve a listening ear, hand on the shoulder, a word of encouragement, a smile, a cup of coffee. Whatever way you give pastoral care, you will bless someone. And at the same time, you will be blessed too. Because the Bible says, blessed are all those who hear the word of God and put it into practice. Amen.